Good afternoon, and welcome to the launch of the Coalition for Fair Drug Prices. My name is Claire McAndrew, and I am the Director of Campaigns and Partnerships at Families USA. Families USA is a leading national nonpartisan voice for healthcare consumers dedicated to achieving high quality, affordable healthcare, and improved health for all. We are excited to launch this new coalition of consumer, labor, and provider groups who have joined together to hold policymakers accountable for reining in high and rising prescription drug prices. Members of the Coalition for Fair Drug Prices include the following national organizations: Families USA, AFL-CIO, the Center for American Progress, Community Catalyst, Doctors for America, the Medicare Rights Center, the National Partnership for Women and Families, Public Citizen, and SEIU. Members also include the following state groups who have led the way on prescription drug policy at the state level and are committed to urging federal reforms as well: Health Access California, the Universal Healthcare Foundation of Connecticut, and the Maryland Citizens Health Initiative. Together, the Coalition for Fair Drug Prices is united in pursuing shared goals for prescription drug policy and holding policymakers accountable for acting on these goals. We articulate this vision in our statement of principles that we are releasing today on this teleconference. I will share those principles with you now. Our first principle is that everyone should be able to access, on an equitable, affordable, and safe basis, the medication they need to live healthy and productive lives. Our second principle is that prescription drugs should be affordable for individual consumers and for our country's overall health coverage and care systems, including public programs and private health insurance. Third, drug prices must be affordable, justified, and fair. This includes initial launch prices and later price increases, prices for brand name drugs and generics, and prices for biologics and biosimilars. Fourth, the top priority for action must be to address outrageous list prices that manufacturers charge, which drive costs throughout the system. Additional policies to bring costs and prices under control should ultimately encompass the entire supply chain, including wholesale distributors, PBMs, insurers and other payers, and retail pharmacies. Fourth, public policy, including incentives for and funding of research and development, should promote drug innovation that achieves the greatest possible gains in health and well-being, rather than prioritizing the development of drugs that maximize monopolies and corporate profit. Fifth, prices should ensure that the public gets a fair return on its investments in pharmaceutical research and development, accounting for public research dollars and other forms of government subsidy. Next, full transparency should apply to the cost of research and development, including the extent to which those costs were paid with public dollars and the results of clinical trials. Finally, the entire pharmaceutical supply chain, including manufacturers, wholesale distributors, PBMs, insurers and other payers, and retail pharmacies, must be publicly accountable for and provide transparent information about expenses, including for marketing and lobbying, if applicable, prices, rebates and discounts, profits, and related information about costs and revenues. We are excited to share these principles with you and look forward to working with policymakers to bring them to fruition through common sense reforms. I will now turn the call over to Frederick Assassi, Executive Director of Families USA.
Thanks, Claire, very much. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. We want to be very clear in why we are launching this effort. Families in this nation are living with a crisis around the cost and value of healthcare. Nowhere do we see the public more engaged and struggling with this problem than the cost of prescription drugs. In so many instances, people across America who depend on life-saving drugs are at the mercy of prescription drug companies who leverage federal laws to set or raise prices to levels that have no relationship to the value these drugs provide, prices that are so astronomically high that they create a financial crisis for our nation's families. We're talking about people like Catherine, who spends $1,000 each month on prescription drugs. That's exactly half of her income. People like Linda, who we will be hearing from in a few moments, who have to depend on charity programs to receive their medications. And let's be really clear, Linda and Catherine are not alone. 80% of adults say prescription drug costs are unreasonable, and even more troubling and heartbreaking, a third of our nation say they are not taking the drugs their doctors have prescribed because they simply can't afford them. These people may not fill their prescriptions, they may skip doses, or they may even cut their pills in half. We and our partners in this national coalition are extremely proud to come together from diverse perspectives and backgrounds to confront this issue head on. A very sincere thank you to President Trumka of AFL-CIO and all of our coalition partners. We are consumer groups, labor unions, and providers joining together to work on this issue. And the coalition is supportive and optimistic about the work beginning in Congress to address this problem. But we also know that these efforts are not nearly enough. Families and healthcare consumers across America want and deserve much more far-reaching reforms that target the underlying drivers of out-of-control prices. This includes changing federal law so that the government can help our families by negotiating drug prices. It also includes changing the underlying patent and market exclusivity laws that permit drug makers to set out-of-control prices. We have to remind ourselves that these rules that give drug companies almost unlimited power to set prices were created by Congress, and Congress holds the key to solving this problem. Across party lines and by wide margins, Americans support these serious actions to create a fair system that sets drug prices at reasonable levels. In closing, let me say that the coalition is energized and we are on a mission. The pharmaceutical industry is one of the most powerful lobbies in this nation, but we have rolled up our sleeves and we are working with Congress to change federal laws. Our work is driven by one concern. In one of the wealthiest nations in the world, in which we are spending 2 to 3 times more than other nations to provide health care, no family should be forced to choose between protecting their health with prescription drugs and the financial security and independence of their family.
Thank you so much, Frederick. I would now like to invite Richard Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO, to share his remarks.
Thank you, Claire. All of us at the AFL-CIO are incredibly proud to be a part of this coalition, because this fight cuts to the core of what we do every single day. The labor movement has always been about one thing, putting power back into the hands of working people. And that's exactly what this campaign is seeking to accomplish. It's hard to think of a more unbalanced, coercive relationship than one between a patient whose health or even life depends on a drug and a corporation that can charge whatever they want for it. That patient can't negotiate. They can't walk away. All they can do is sacrifice, making the impossible choice between medicine and other necessities, or even going into debt to buy something that should be a right for every single American. That's unjust, and it's an unfair relationship. And it's perpetuated by a fundamental, immoral, and economically unsustainable system. Patients have no leverage, so drug corporation executives don't have to budge an inch, and they never will, unless we make them. The truth is that corporations don't have some divine right to their exorbitant profits. They didn't develop these drugs on their own dime. They were researched, developed, tested, and produced with taxpayer dollars, our money. Their products were funded by the very same patients that were holding hostage. Now, when the taxpayer bankrolls their entire business model, that money should come with some conditions. Public investment in the development of a new drug therapies should be leveraged to ensure medicines are priced fairly. And the federal government should be empowered to bring down prices, to curb harmful monopolies, and use its leverage to negotiate with drug manufacturers on behalf of Medicare and other payers. Trade agreements that expand drug monopolies should be rejected, and public investment in the development of new drug therapies should be leveraged to ensure medicines are priced fairly. As individual consumers, we can't bring about fundamental change on our own, but collectively, we can win a fairer deal. Working people in unions do this every single day. By bringing all of us together in a true show of collective power, this coalition can win that brighter future. Each of us has a right to the medicine that we need to lead healthy and fulfilling lives. We won't allow the greed of a few executives to obstruct that right any longer. We're ready for the fight ahead. Claire, thank you.
Well, thank you, President Trumka. We are now honored to hear from Linda Massey, who reached out to Families USA with her story of how rising prescription drug prices have been affecting her personally, and she will now share that story with all of you. Thank you, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda Massey. I worked my whole life as a graphic designer as an adult and retired at age 66. However, I was diagnosed in 1993 with rheumatoid arthritis and was pretty much successfully treated. But in 1998, I was changed over to Enbrel, which worked wonderfully, and I was able to work successfully from that point forward. And my employer's Medicare plan, prescription plans paid for that. But when I retired, Medicare doesn't pay for Enbrel. And I found out I would have to pay $1,500 a month out of pocket for that prescription, which worked. So I went to Orencia, which Medicare does pay, but it's about more than three times more a month, but Medicare pays for that. And it's an IV once a month, and I would have to drive quite a ways and to get that every month. But Enbrel is self-injection once a week. It works. And I was able to get on a charitable program for now that I have to reapply every year to qualify. And I'm getting very nervous about whether I'm going to be able to continue to do that because I'm concerned about the charitable program being able to sustain itself. So I'm very concerned that I'm not going to be able to continue with Enbrel. Rheumatoid arthritis runs in my family. My aunt and my grandmother both had it. They were totally disabled and in wheelchairs by the time they were in their 60 years old. So I know where this could go if I don't have medicine. I am grateful for this medicine, Enbrel, but I can't pay for it. It's more than I my income that I have now per month. So it's a little scary to know that I might not be able to continue with it. So I guess that's about all I have to say here, if there's any questions.
Well, thank you very much, Linda, and thank you to all of our speakers. Samantha, we would now like to open the line for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We have our first question. Caller, please go ahead.
This is Alex Roth with Bloomberg Government. I was wondering if you guys could give me some basic stuff about what the coalition is, you guys plan, or the work you plan to do. Is this lobbying work, advertising, campaigns? Curious about some of the kind of basic nuts and bolts of what we'll see out of you guys.
Thank you very much for that question. This is Claire McAndrew, and we are very excited to have all of these groups coming together. And we are aiming to have a follow-up set of recommendations after the release of this initial principles, because our aim really is to ensure that policymakers are pushing forward with really meaningful reforms that will hold down the actual price of prescription drugs, because as we mentioned, that's really where the rubber hits the road when it comes to lowering prices. So look forward to seeing a package of recommendations from this coalition over the coming months, And we will be continuing to be pushing forward those consensus policies that really represent the perspective of consumers, as opposed to some of the recommendations we're seeing from industry and other players in the supply chain that we think will not really actually get the job done at lowering prescription drug prices.
So just a quick follow-up to that. When you set out recommendations like that, I mean, is this about, like, meeting lawmakers, trying to push them to do it? Can you give me some, you know, just kind of examples of what you'll do with those things? I mean, is it just you want to put them out in the ether and hope they get picked up?
So this is Frederick from Families USA. The work is, as Claire was describing, right now we're doing a lot of intellectual and consensus work to really build the framework for what are the core principles that we want to see embodied in future congressional action. But make no mistake, this is focused on trying to get Congress to act to change laws. The next phase will be, and has already begun, where we're working directly with congressional offices for them to consider introducing and working on passage of legislation. And then to your earlier question, there's no doubt that, as we mentioned, this is one of the most influential lobbies in the country, period. And this is about movement building. This is about bringing forward the energy that is currently out there in the public around this issue and building a strong enough signal into Congress to have them actually act. So I think that you will also see really large campaign and movement building around this as well.
Thank you. We have our next question. Cora, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Peter Sullivan with The Hill. I just wanted to sort of ask similarly, I mean, in terms of what House Democrats are working on in terms of Medicare negotiating, I mean, do you have specific recommendations for them, you know, as to whether they use, you know, arbitration for Medicare negotiating, whether they do compulsory licensing, whether it should be applied to all drugs or just some drugs? I mean, are you kind of getting into the details of that? Or
hi, this is Frederick from Families. Yes, we are way knee-deep in all the details of that. We're working very, very closely with the authors of the legislation, working through the policy pros and cons as a coalition. As you know, there's a lot of different perspectives and moving pieces, and so we're there to make sure that whatever approach you're taking, this is going to actually result, as Claire has said and I've said and President Trump has said, we're not talking about around the margins. We're talking about real powerful changes, things like allowing the government to actually negotiate price.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. I am showing no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you very much. And for anyone who has a follow-up question, we do encourage you to get in touch with Families USA and AFL-CIO, along with any of our partners who are in this coalition. To reach out to Families USA, please contact Lisa Holland. To reach out to the AFL-CIO, please contact Carolyn Bob. And we thank you all for your time today to learn about the Coalition for Fair Drug Prices. Thank you very much and have a great day.